thunderstorms in the evening, then a chance of showers after midnight. Lows in the lower 50s. West winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Tuesday, mostly sunny and breezy. Highs in the lower 60s. Tuesday night, mostly clear. Lows in the upper 40s. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday, mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 60s.
The coastal waters forecast from Sandy Hook, New Jersey to Fire Island Inlet, New York, out 20 nautical miles. Small craft advisory in effect through late Monday night. Tonight, south winds 20 to 25 knots with gusts up to 30 knots, diminishing to 15 to 20 knots with gusts up to 25 knots late this evening and overnight. Seas 4 to 6 feet. For Monday, southwest winds 15 to 20 knots, diminishing to 10 to 15 knots in the afternoon. 30 knots. Seas 4 to 6 feet. Showers likely in the afternoon with visibility 1 to 3 nautical miles. For Monday night, southwest winds 10 to 15 knots, becoming west 15 to 20 knots after midnight. Seas 3 to 5 feet. Showers likely, mainly in the evening with visibility 1 to 3 nautical miles. And for Tuesday, northwest winds 15 to 20 knots with gusts up to 25 knots. Seas 3 to 5 feet. The marine forecast for New York Harbor, including Raritan Bay. Small craft advisory in effect through Monday afternoon. For tonight.
The time is 4:50 p.m. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Good afternoon. Set tonight at 8 o'clock. This is the W2VL amateur radio repeater system.
California. CQ, 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 CQ. Kilo India 6, India, Julian, India. Kilo India 6, India, Julian, India. Northern California.
Northern California, this is KM2CMJ.
CMJ, this is Kilo India 6, India, Juliet, India. My name is Gary, George Alpha, Radio Yankee. I don't believe I've ever talked to you before. I'm in Northern California, which is Sacramento, near in Citrus Heights, which is 15 miles northeast of Sacramento. Back to you, and I'd like to get your name from my little log. Thank you.
Name here is Bob, B-O-B. Call is Kilo Mike 2, KM2, CMJ.
Okay, Bob, I got your call sign as Kilo Mike 2, Charlie Mike Juliet. Where are you located on Long Island, and are you going home from work, or are you just doing your thing on a Sunday?
Just leaving work. I'm mobile. I'm in Belmore, New York, in Garden City at the moment, heading back to my QTH in Belmore.
Well, that's fantastic. I hope you have a good time later this afternoon. If you're going to do anything, I hope it's not. I hope your area is very nice. I've never been in that part of New York. The last time I was in New York was for the New York World's Fair. I'm 64 and 65. 1964 and 1965. The last time I've been there, and I know they use it for movies, and the only thing really left is is the New York Pavilion and the Unisphere. That was a really neat thing to see when I was there, and I had my first Belgian waffle there. So that's how I got my taste from there. Back to you.
If you haven't been here since 1964 and 65, a whole lot has changed since you were here last.
Oh, I believe that. I believe that. More people, different buildings. Even the hotel we were in was kind of a flea bag hotel, if you know what that term means, a flea bag. So, yeah, like you said, a lot of things have changed. It's just this good memory that I had when I was there. But it was a lot of fun being at the New York World's Fair. I know that they won't have one for a long time yet or anything, because it costs a lot to start a fair to keep up. So where is, you said where you were, I didn't quite catch it, but is that a real nice area of New York? Like I said, I've never been in that part. Is it, what borough are you in, or aren't you in a borough? Back to you.
No, we're outside the boroughs. We're in Nassau County on Long Island, I'm right now in the village of Garden City, and I'm heading to the South Shore to Belmore. We're about 15 to 20 miles out of Manhattan.
Well, I'm glad for you you're out of that area. Huh. At least you have a little more room to breathe. Not a big buildings around you. I know it can be very crazy in New York like L.A. because you have so many people. But I'm glad you're in a nice area. Like I said, I've never been in that part of New York City area. But I know it can be crazy for the traffic. Here it's not too bad on a Sunday. I haven't been out yet, so I don't know. But I hope your weather is nice back there. Back to you.
It is really nice here today. Traffic gets to be a mess during the week, in the morning and in the evening. It'll take you about 45 minutes to close to an hour to go about 8 or 9 miles.
KM2, CMJ, this is KI6IJ, Northern California. Yeah, you're right. Rush hour does do that, but on a Sunday it isn't so bad. But how long have you, it sounds like you've had your license for a long time too. Sounds like you've been around the block a long time. I've only had my license since 2007. Back to you.
I got my license this time about 2007. I let it expire the first time, and then I went again and got it back this time because I was working with Aries and Reese's and our local government.
Well, that's good, Bob. That's good. That's what I try to do, too. I'm not really a member of anything yet, but I'm trying to again, just as the financial situation is getting a little bit better for me. So I'm able to do those things, but at least you're doing better for yourself too, and being part of the world. Because whenever a cell phone goes out, what are you going to do? A lot of people are thinking that a cell phone's going to last forever, and the tower's going to last forever. Well, they don't last forever. Only the battery might, but not the cell phone. And the coverage might change after a while, depending on how many people have it, how many cells you can have, how many towers you can have without people complaining about them. Because around here, they make them look like pine trees. So they come around and they don't look so bad. But you're seeing them in industrial areas where you can see the reflectors out there. But it's different. We got to expect them to be around. But I like my hobby, and it makes me feel like I'm part of the world, even if I don't have a cell phone. Back to you.
The radio's nice. I don't get on it all the time. I listen a whole lot, but I don't talk that much on it. I'm mainly in it for the communications, for the emergency communications. My wife and I both. She has a tech license, and I've got the extra. So we have an HF set up at home. We have the mobile unit here with four bands. And we have a couple of HTs.
Well, that's good, Bob. I'm glad you have. I'm talking to you on 1802M. They don't make them anymore. A Yaesu, and I use an FT-60R, 2-meter 440. And 440 we can't use much around here because of paved paths, and I know you've read about it, or heard about it, the over the horizon radar. So we have that here, so I can't really do anything about it. I'm about 100 miles north of me, and if you're within that distance, or 100 to 150 miles is a distance between you and them. If you're out of the area, beyond 150 miles, you're okay. Like down in Southern California or farther north from me, we're able to be on 440, but just got to watch your power, and if you have any 440 repeaters, you have to put them down low level, or they send them a letter saying you got to turn them off because you're interfering with us. Back to you.
Never heard that one before. That's got to be interesting. I've got the Yaesu 4-band in the car, the 8900, and I have the Yaesu 897 at home. And then we left the band, it's got, or the brand, and we got two of the Kenwood HD.
KM2 CMJ, KI6IJI. If you want to go to another one, that's okay with me, but Yaesu and I have got to have a good relationship, but I get an ICOM or a Kenwood HF rig, that's okay with me, as long as it's a friend of mine that's north of me here in the town of Williams, City of Williams, which is north of me, might be able to get me an HF rig. I don't know if it's an ICOM or Kenwood, and it's going to be a plug and play. That'll be helpful. I'm in a homeowners association, so I have to figure out ways of getting a vertical and stuff like that, but they haven't said anything about my J-pole, which I'm talking on now. Back to you.
I like the J-pole. I have one at home. It works really nice. I like that. The car, I have a 4-band antenna on the car to work with the Yaesu 8900. It works pretty good. I don't do a whole lot on the other bands. Every once in a while, I'll tune on them and see if anything's going on. Mostly, I'm right here on 2-liter.
That's good, Bob. I'm mostly on 2 meters, too. I use my FT60R out in the world, and I have it connected to that whenever I'm out, and I have it charging on my the one you put in the cigarette lighter. I use that for that. Or I charge it, unplug it, and take it with me, and then if I'm out in the world and if I feel bored, I'll listen to it, see if there's anything happening, and if I'm within range of the S-meter thing, I got good contact with the repeater, I'll talk to somebody and see what things are like. But I've talked around the world on IRLP. Yesterday I was on the wind system, and I talked to a guy in Kiwiland, New Zealand, and it was a lot of fun, and he had been on the radio for almost 30 years himself. So him and I had a nice conversation, and other people piled up on him and had a good time with him. But that's the way it is. IRLP is what I do right now, but when I get my HF and my antenna up, I'll be able to be on HF again. I did have HF for a while until finances precluded me to have one. So, well, you have a nice time getting home. Thanks for the ride along, and drive safely home. Have a good evening, and if you need to, if somebody recorded the football game for you, you'll have to look at it. But you have a nice evening. We'll talk to you later. And my name is Gary, George Alpha Radio Yankee, and have a nice evening. Kilo Mike 2, Charlie Mike Juliet. This is Kilo India 6, India Julian, India, Northern California, 73.
73's to you too, Gary. This is KM2CMJ, mobile, and I'll be clear.
KC2WYQ.
That's KC2, this is KM2CMJ.
KC2WYQ.
This is KC2WYQ. Name's Michael. I'm located on Long Island.
Oh, hello, Michael. My name is Gary, George Alpha Radio Yankee, and I'm here in Citrus Heights, California, which is about 15 miles northeast of Sacramento. Have you checked into Handy Hams before? Handy Hams. Back to you.
No, Jerry, I haven't. I'm running a little 10-watt mobile rig from a power supply, so I don't think I can get very far.
Well, Michael, if you have a pen and paper, I'll give you the note number to get into Handy Hams. Looks like they're on 7 days a week now. At noon your time, noon to I don't know how long, but the node number is 9008 is the node number for Handy Hams. It's for handicapped and blind people, and they have a tech net, and they have other nets that you can check into, and you can learn a lot more on how to keep your station up, find materials to help upgrade it, all that sort of thing. Back to you.
Gary, what did you call letters?
Okay, Mike, my call letters are Kilo India 6 India Juliet India, Kilo India 6 India Juliet India. Copy?
Yeah, I copy. To get the node number, I don't have the facilities for a node number on here. So is there any other way I could get on?
The only other way is to have somebody for you. But if you have a keypad on your HT and you're near an IRLP node like yours, or one that's closer on a different frequency, you can use your keypad for that, and you just put out your call sign, put the node number in, which is 9008, into your keypad. See if you're connected. It'll say the Vancouver reflector, and then Vancouver reflector 9000, and then it said channel 8. That is Handy Ham Net. Handy Ham Net. Copy?
Okay. Hey, it seemed like we talked before. I have you in my lurk somewhere.
I mean, Michael, maybe we did. It's been a long time since I've talked to you then. I know maybe it's 6 months or less. I haven't been on there that much. I've been having procedures done, and I haven't had too much of a chance to talk to a whole bunch of people on 9126. But, I think it's been a while. But, I try to check into Handy Hams when I can, and make contact with a friend of mine that lives in Minnesota now, where I'm from, and I haven't heard from him for a while either. But he usually checks into that net uses a computer that puts out the tone, because he doesn't have the keypad that I have on my H102M here to get into it. Back to you.
Okay, Gary, I hear that. What I've been doing, I've been trying to study for my upgrade, so I haven't been on too much. But I did, it's my second year of my license, and I enjoy it very much.
Well, that's good. TC2WYQ, this is KIJ, Northern California. Yeah, you're doing really good. You're doing really good. I know. I enjoyed my license before I even got it, because I was a shortwave listener. And now I got my own license. Now I can feel better about it. Talking around the world, even if it is through IRLP or Echolink. I've tried Echolink, but I'm not fast enough to put the numbers in. But that's okay. As long as I'm able to get on the other ones, I'm okay. I only can do 2 meters. 440 around here, we cannot do. but I can listen to it, and there's a couple, two or three that I can get into that are close. And I don't hear any, hardly anybody on those things. I just listen to it. But if I do hear anybody, I press the button, find out what the PL tone is, put it in, and see if I can hit it. But hope you're having a nice day, Mike. Back to you.
Yeah, I'm having a nice day. It's about 70 degrees here, and it's a little windy, but it's nice and sunny outside.
Well, that's good, Michael. Well, I gotta get it going. 73s, and maybe I'll hear you on the reflector again. But yeah, you study for your general, you get a lot more privileges. You'll be able to get on HF. You can get on HF, but only on 10 meters, and that's not always open. But yeah, go from general, you have a lot more privileges. That's what I did, and that's why I'll be able to be on HF. But the extra is a little too much for me right now until things get more calm. I have a more brain power in order to concentrate, in order to take the test. But we'll say 73s, and we'll see you later. KC2WYQ is KIJI, Northern California. Thank you, Michael. You have a nice day.
Okay, Gary, 73, you have a great afternoon over there, and I hope the Giants win. So I'm going to wrap it up. 73, bye-bye.
The other station that's calling KI6IJI or whoever, your volume is very low. I could not hear you. Could you turn up your microphone gain, and I'll be able to talk to you. Thank you. I heard Michael, but the volume on your microphone is very low. Are you using an HT? I couldn't get your call sign. I heard you in there a second time, but your microphone or whatever you're using as a microphone is very low. If you could turn it up, the gain on your microphone or something, I don't know. All I heard was that your name was Michael also. I could not hear your call sign. Back to you.
It's KB2DPD. Mike, you've got no audio coming through the repeater. I hear you fine on the input, but your audio on the through the repeater is just about nothing. It can hardly be heard. I heard everything you said, but I had to turn the volume up. I hear you fine on the input, but not through the repeater. I don't know what it is, Mike. But I can tell you something, you're fine on the input. I just went there again, you're fine. Audio over here is very, very, very low. Mike, as I said, I don't know what the problem is, but there is a problem. KB2DPD clear, 73.
Is there anybody else that would like to talk to Northern California? This is Kilo India, 6 India, Juliet India. My name is Gary George Alpha, Radio Yankee. Michael, I still can't hardly hear you. I got to turn up the volume of my radio here. It's just too low. Something is wrong with your microphone. It's not working worth a darn. You've got to find another one, and whatever HT you have, better have the wiring looked at on the microphone itself. If it's a stock microphone, you might have to buy another one. That's the manufacturer. Stock microphone I use, it still works. But you're going to have to find another one. It's not working. Back to you, if I can hear you. KB2DPD, KI6IJI. KI
Time is 6:50 p.m. W2VL repeater system.
Pulling out of W2VL. Me did a goofy firewall mistake, so I had to come here to undo that mistake. Steve, over to you.
So you did a boo-boo, huh? Now I don't feel bad.
Yeah, I didn't even hear Steve in there, but it's the delay, so okay. Thought you were calling me Steve for a minute. Alrighty, I'm on my way home, a couple miles left here. Beautiful day today. Of leisure. To miss you at the Hamfest, Bernie. I saw Eric and he said you were on your way, but Richie and I had to leave kind of early.
Yeah, I just flat didn't get out of bed early enough. And having a little family health problems. My wife's brother is not doing well right now, so we were up to like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning with the time changed out west, so just didn't make it. Saving my pennies and dimes for the Limark one. See you.
So I know what that's all about. Only I had the reverse problem.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. So, man, it's always something. Alrighty. It was, wasn't that big. And, for I guess the first time in a long time, Andy, didn't make it for his, clinic. His tune-up clinic. So.
Did either of you see the high altitude, skydive out of a balloon they did today? I happened to just stumble across as they were, I flipped it on the computer and they were, the guy was running through his checklist and I noticed he was already at 127,000 feet, so I stuck around and watched the deployment. Very interesting. I'm not quite sure that'd be my cup of tea, but very interesting what they were doing. Steve?
KP2ELH, mobile. Hello. Yeah, I was watching it, but I got grabbed away for another chore, so I've recorded it, and we'll take a look at it a little bit later. I caught him on his way up at about 68,000, and then I came back when he was at about 108,000. He was doing about 1,000 feet per minute, which is not bad. The other gentleman, I'm sorry I missed your call, WB2ZSE, why don't you pick it up and say hello?
This is Kilo 1 Bravo 2 Echo Lima Hotel, Mobile. I'm sorry to bother you guys, I know you guys are chatting there. Just testing the radio in the car, I just put in an ST7900 and just wondering how it's making out the gets.
I don't know if nobody else will comment, I will. It sounds basically fine. The only thing to me is it sounds like your audio is just a hair bit too hot. The audio gain, not deviation. But otherwise, it sounds pretty good. You got a good RF signal into the repeater.
Okay, this might be a little bit better. I'm sorry, I'm just a little too close to the microphone. Name here is Fred Fox Romeo Echo Delta. We're here located in Queens Village, I guess not too far from the repeat event.
Well, Fred, what I was going to say was it's not working at all, and what you really ought to do is give me the radio for a couple of years to check it out. But no, you're solid in the machine, you're doing good, and your audio sounds good now, so you are 100%.
Very good. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate you coming back. I'll let you go then. I'm just having a heck of a time just trying to program this thing. Don't have too much time to play with it, but, cause I gotta work tomorrow, but I'll just, try to figure it out a little bit. Appreciate you come back, guys. 73, thank you. This is Kilo Bravo 2 Echo Lima Hotel. Thank you.
Well, worst case, Fred, you've got us there, so come back and talk to us all the time. 73. Steve, over to you.
Yes, I'm running around. It's still not complete. I'm still doing it. Anyway, I do want to watch it later, but I take it the exiting part was successful. I wonder how they're going to retrieve the balloon.
Yeah, I didn't see, but I heard he had some spinning issues initially when he jumped out.
Yeah, the commentator said that he was going to have some rolling effect, and that that was predicted based on his earlier test jumps. I doubt they'll recover the balloon. The module they did recover. After he was, I think as soon as he hit the ground, they cut the module loose and it parachuted down. I didn't stick around for it to land, but it was under canopy, so it was going to land and, you know, going to land somewhere. They just had to go find it. The only real problem I think they had, I came on after they had dealt with it. He had some issues with his sun visor, and I'm not quite sure what it was. By the time I got in, he already had his sun visor down, even though he was inside the module. I think it was brighter than they had expected, and he had not planned on using his sun visor inside the module. I know on the way down, he complained about it fogging, which I was concerned, would they be able to see his canopy? Or, I'm sorry, would he be able to see his altimeter to pull his canopy? But it didn't seem to be a problem. So, he was definitely spinning early on, and then when he got to, I think they said it was about 35 to 40 seconds after free fall that he got into enough atmosphere that he could create control, and he flattened out pretty quickly at that point. You could see him there shooting, heat images, IR infrared images, and you could see him once he stopped tumbling, and it's actually kind of cool. Steve?
What did he max out at speed-wise? I know they were expecting him to break the sound barrier.
I'm in the driveway. I'm going to go in the house. Let me move on a little bit. So let me clear now. I'm like 2H clear, good bearing.
He got to around 700. They didn't have... I dropped off after they had recovered him, and they didn't have the official telemetry yet. But they said he was around there, that he definitely had the highest altitude, definitely had the... I believe they said he had the highest velocity, and he broke one of the record. I forgot what it was. The Air Force officer that did it 30, 40 years ago still has the longest free fall. That he was free falling faster than anybody else had.
Yeah, no, if I recall, the previous free fall record was 108,000. Not was from 108,000, not 108,000 feet, and the highest occupied balloon, I think, was 113.7.
That's what it was. He had the highest occupied balloon record. I thought that he had opened awfully high, and that may have just been a safety issue, that they wanted to decelerate him quicker. I'm not sure, but it seemed like he was awfully high up. I also wondered about heating. Did he not start getting warm because of the friction?
I don't know. How hot do supersonic planes get on the outside, especially at altitude?
Well, the SR-71 Blackbird, they said, grows something like 10 inches or something when it had that cruising speed. I forget the exact number, but it's a measurable amount that it increases in size. But I'm sure that somebody is going to write some in-depth articles about this. And, it's definitely significant. As we get more and more space travel-oriented, that could arguably make an escape route that astronauts could escape that way and come down free fall.
23 miles, 24 miles. You've still got a lot more fin, but you've still got a lot more atmosphere to go through.
Oh, true. And there's other implications. He had to carry oxygen. You can't breathe up there. He would have been dead without his pressure suit on. So there's a lot of complications to this, but I'm sure they got a ton of very interesting data from it. Speaking of things gathering aeronautical data, did you catch the there was a TV show the other day about the 727 that they flew into the ground down in Mexico, and they filled it up with crash dummies and telemetry sensors and crashed the thing?
No, I know it was planned, and I know they had done it, but no, I hadn't watched the show, and don't know what the results were.
Well, the simple data is folks in the back of the plane took a lot less impact, and you're basically better off sitting in the back of the plane, and the fetal crash position of head to your knees it's not arguably the best solution. You can mess up your legs doing that, but it does save concussion and back injuries.
Interesting. A lot of the aircraft manufacturers are taking note of what was going on there. In fact, I'm sure they probably subsidized it.
Yeah, they were kind of showing the different people involved. There were a number of universities, also NTSB folks. The ground personnel that the aircraft companies contract to go secure the crash sites and that kind of stuff. There were a lot of quasi-governmental and really governmental people involved. So, yeah, it was... I think it was something that everybody was looking at, that it was a ton of very important data.
Yeah, well, I'm sure I'll find it as reading material at some point in time.
And they also pointed out that you're significantly better off in a plane that doesn't crash. Well, I am pulling up to the driveway. I need to go inside and talk to my wife and find out what's going on out west, so... I will catch you later. Have a wonderful evening, K2IL.
Yep, sure, that's true. How far west, by the way?
Phoenix area.
Okay, hope things turn out better. WB2CSE.
Thank you, sir. K2IL.
Romeo India Whiskey. My name is Dick. You'll also hear Mel? Yeah, you won't hear Mel. I'm thinking of the old days. You'll hear John, KC2 WGB. And the two of us try to run this thing called the TechNet. We try to enter, what's the word? Net control. The interlocutors. The main purpose of the TechNet, as you guys have heard lots of times, is education. We try to teach each other how all of this somewhat complicated ham radio gear works. Wireless is becoming a very important part of people's lives these days. And how do those antennas and transmission lines and transmitters and receivers and propagation, how does it all work? We try to solve that problem, so to speak. There's a lot of brain power in the tri-state area of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, where this repeater has a moderate amount of coverage. And so hopefully what happens most of the time when a particular subject is being discussed, if a person with specific knowledge in that tri-state area is willing to sign in and give us the benefit of his experience, that's very helpful. We try to tap into it that way. One of the philosophies of the TechNet is there's no such thing as a dumb question. The dumb question really means that there's a large gap between what the person knows and what he would like to know. Therefore, he's most deserving of an answer. We don't have that dismissive attitude of, you know, that question doesn't come up to our standards, and we're not going to address it. So don't be afraid to ask dumb questions. For those who've listened to the TechNet over the years, and this is now the 30th year of the technical net, it began. Let me drop. It began in September of 1982, the middle of September. And I probably have missed a few numbers, but I think this is TechNet number 1,000. Here we go, 4,120. And if you take the number of weeks between now and then, it should be a bigger number. So we've lost a few somewhere along the way. If you are the person who thinks you don't like listening to technical information, and there are a few people like that, and they get angry because it exists, maybe that's one of the explanations why occasionally we experience some jamming. Some people just don't like technical information. Also, if you're looking for things not to like, because certain subjects are repetitive, there's always a new group of amateurs getting their license each individual year, and some of the questions they ask at first sound repetitive. You're always going to hear questions on what is standing wave ratio, and what is this impedance of a transmission line. What does that all mean? So to some degree, you're going to hear some repeats from time to time. Quite often, the way it's approached later on is done a little bit differently, but not all subjects are a repeat. Can't please everybody. We know that, but we try. There's no guarantee everything you hear is going to be 100% accurate. The people involved, John and I and others, do a sincere job of trying to tell you what we think the truth is, and we make errors. Everybody has a batting average. Nobody bats 1,000, to put it in baseball terms. But we're willing to laugh at our mistakes, and when someone brings it to our attention, we try to make those corrections. The past seven and a quarter years of Technical Net are all recorded and reasonably documented, and you can listen to the past Technical Nets by going to Mike Perry's website, KC2NJI, by going to www.amateurradio.tangovictor. You go to that website, amateurradio.tangovictor, and choose the year, everything from 2006 on. You choose the year, the month, the week, and then on each one of those weekends, there's four individual reels covering the approximately 4 hours of each one of those technical nets. And some of the early ones are documented as to what subject is being discussed during every one of the 10 minutes or so. Also, certain repetitive subjects like Smith chart and decibels, there's a separate way you can enter those particular specific tech nets and listen to that exact material if that's what you wanted to know about, because those subjects have been around for a long time and are not easy to understand. You probably heard us discuss things like Vector Network Analyzer, a very modern piece of test equipment. So we get into some of those kinds of discussions. A person signs in to the TechNet by giving John and Dick your call letters, your name, and the word yes, which means you do have a question or a comment. You need not sign in just because you're listening. After 30 years of the technical net, everybody is listening, so that doesn't have to be proven to us anymore. And there are some colleges where the professors are telling their students to listen to the technical net material as a way of getting acquainted with modern-day wireless hardware and the way it's being treated. So you give John and Dick, if you've got a question or a comment, your call letters and your name and the word yes. So a typical sign-in would sound like KD2BHY, Jim and yes. A typical sign-in. Give me your call letters and name right now. K2RA to be listening.
KD2AMZ, Mike, and yes.
N2RDB, Tim, with an important announcement.
So far we have Mike and Tim. Anyone else?
N2GNF2Pol.
Request recognized. Anyone else?
Good evening, Dick.
Who was it that said good evening, Dick?
WS2M with the space report, Paul.
Very, very fine, Paul. And some good space things have happened, like somebody jumping out of a gondola at 128,000 feet. Alrighty, anyone else checking? Give me your call letters and name right now.
C2WGB with the mailbag. Good evening, Dick.
Okay, John. Tim, you said you had an appointment, an important announcement. Let's find out what that is. N2 Romeo Delta Bravo, I think it is. K2RAW. Go ahead, Jim. Question, Tim.
Thank you, Dick. Great job on the net, as always. Always good to hear you every Sunday night. Anyway, I speak in the capacity of District Emergency Coordinator of Nassau County, Aries. 1 week from today, we will be conducting our SET drill, which stands for Simulated Emergency Test, for those of you who do not know. We will be conducting this drill on Sunday, October 21st, at 10:30 hours a.m., and our marshalling frequency, for those in the area, will be 146.805. The WB2 WAK repeater, which has a PL of 136.5 and a negative 600 kilohertz shift. We're looking for numbers here. You will be allowed to participate if you're operating from home, and we encourage everyone to spread this throughout the amateur radio community. A drill of this sort works better when it has more participants. Anyway, we will be marshalling on the 146.805 repeater, and some of you may be given instructions to go elsewhere from that point. We will go into that more on the morning of the drill. So 1 week from today, Sunday, October 21st, at 10:30 hours on the 146.805 machine, our simulated emergency test drill. Thank you, Dick, and to RDB, back to net.
Hi, thank you, Tim. Does anyone need a fill or have any further questions for Tim on the SET test that he just described? Give me your call letters right now.
And one other item.
KC2ZUM, good evening, Dick. Just need the PL again.
KC2ZUM, I think he said the PL is 136.5 for the 146.805 repeater, the WA2WAK repeater. Go ahead, Tim, with your additional item.
Yes. One thing I forgot to mention. I would appreciate that if you are